at Del Rita. We're so thrilled that you're here. It's turned out to be a very beautiful afternoon after some much needed rain. And tonight we have those again who are our guests, and we are always very honored to be able to say hello and to welcome our guests. And we hope that you'll always feel warm. You'll be made to feel welcome when you assemble here at Del Rita. That is our goal. That's our sincere desire. Have some wonderful news to pass along to you this evening. Following our service this morning, Brenda Irby made the decision to be baptized into Christ. And I hope that you'll congratulate her and welcome her to the family of God and to our family here at Del Rita. I'd like to ask her to stand if she would. I know I saw her. Oh, there she is. So I hope you'll let her know how happy you are for her. She's a woman of a lot of convictions, and she wanted to make her life right with God. So we appreciate her so very much, and I know you'll enjoy getting to know not only her, but her family. I spent a couple of summers out west in the mid-80s while I was in college doing youth internships in Northern California. And while I was there, particularly in the summer of 86, I had the opportunity to go into Lassen Volcanic National Forest and do some mountain climbing. That one summer, in a three-month span, I was able to climb the world's tallest plugged volcano. That's some kind of scientific term, but the elevation is almost 10,600 feet. And what a beautiful, beautiful picture you can see when you're climbing up that mountainside. One of the most picturesque images that I can remember, just like it was yesterday, is seeing a steel mountain lake. And reflecting off that mountain lake were snow-capped mountains. You would look at the mountains, you would look at the lake, and it was very hard to differentiate one from another, because that crystal clear lake was reflecting the image of those beautiful mountains in the background. I want to suggest to you tonight that as Christians, we are reflections. I want to suggest to you tonight that we are to be reflecting Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, he said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am also a follower of Jesus Christ." Paul said here, don't imitate me just to imitate me and do what I do. But Paul said, I want you to follow me and imitate my life only as I am imitating Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm trying to reflect Jesus by the way in which I live every single day. And I want you to reflect Jesus by following my example. You know, Paul would use other kinds of language that say basically the same thing. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 2, he said, you are our epistles. You are like living letters known and read of all men. Now you stop and think about what a responsibility that is, that as I go to work tomorrow, as I go to school, other people look at me and they observe my life. What am I reflecting to other people? What am I reflecting to my peers at school? What am I reflecting to my coworkers on the job? Now, every one of us, without exception, is reflecting something or someone to those you come in contact with. The question is, what are you reflecting to other people? I submit to you that you need to be reflecting Jesus Christ. We remember the challenging words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 13, where the Lord talked about how that Christians need to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. He said, let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. You see, in our everyday lives, as we do good, as we submit our will to the Lord's, we need to put the spotlight, if you will, on Jesus Christ and His church. We need to reflect Jesus in everything that we do. And so tonight, who are you reflecting? I might suggest, first of all, tonight, we need to be reflecting Jesus Christ. Paul said, imitate me, just as I also imitate Jesus Christ. Paul imitated Christ, and to imitate Paul was to imitate Jesus Christ himself. And if someone is said to be imitating you, mimicking you, your attitude, your actions, who are you reflecting? Are you reflecting Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world? I think about the challenging words that Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. Peter said, "For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently?" In other words, if you suffer wrong for the wrong that you've done, you got what you deserved, didn't you? If you did something you shouldn't have done, if you broke the rules, if you violated the rules and you're punished for that, it doesn't do any good if you even take that punishment in a good way, because you're just getting what you deserved. There's no good in that. But Peter goes on to say, when you do good, that is when you follow Jesus Christ, when you put Him first, and you suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Now, when I suffer for doing good, when I suffer because of who I am and whose I am and for what I believe in, and I take that patiently, that is commendable. But who are we to be reflecting? Look at what Peter said here. He said, "For to this you were called." Have you ever thought about that? We're called upon today by God to suffer for doing good. And if we do good, and if we follow the will of the Lord, we're going to suffer. He said, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps. How did the Lord suffer for doing good? Well, the Bible says He committed no sin. Deceit was not found in His mouth. Who, when He was reviled, He reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously. We are to reflect Jesus, Peter says, by walking in His steps. I remember when my kids were very small, and sometimes maybe we would go for a hike or for a walk somewhere, and maybe we would come across a place that, you know, was somewhat damp and watery, and I would tell them, you know, watch your step. Just step where I'm stepping. Step in my footprints, and you'll be okay. That's the challenge we face today. As children of God, we're trying to step in the footsteps of Jesus and follow His steps in every aspect of our lives. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 4, "Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but look every man also upon the interest of others." And then Paul gives the key as to how that's accomplished. He said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You have the attitude of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. You reflect Jesus. In other words, you understand that Jesus came to this earth not to be served, but He came to serve others. And therefore, we cannot live selfish, self-centered lives. We need to look out for the other person. We need to be interested in the well-being of another person, even above our own well-being. Who are you reflecting? We need to reflect Jesus Christ, but I suggest we need to reflect the Apostle Paul, as we've already touched on just briefly already. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul says, "These things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written." Paul said, "You learn from me. You follow my example. I'm trying to do the will of God, and you try to imitate me as I reflect Jesus Christ." He said in Philippians 3 and verse 17, "Brethren, join in following my example." I want to ask you, could you say that tonight? Could you say what Paul said in Philippians 4 around verse 9? That those things which you have both learned and heard and received and seen in me do, and the God of peace will be with you? Could you say tonight that if you'll just look at me, not in a boastful or arrogant way, but if you follow my example, if you'll handle situations like I handle situations and make decisions like I make decisions and do what I do, that God will be with you? Paul said you have us for a pattern. How come it is you can go to a certain neighborhood and all the houses are built just the same? They look exactly alike. How's that possible? Well, they're all following the same blueprint. They all have the same pattern. And Paul said, you need to follow me and the example of other people who are following that perfect pattern in Jesus Christ. And so Paul and other New Testament Christians, as we look at their lives and learn from how they handled the various aspects of their lives, other Christians in the New Testament can serve as a wonderful role model for us today. What about other faithful Christians? I believe we can learn from many others who've been faithful to the Lord. Paul said in Philippians 3 and verse 7, "Note those who also walk." Paul in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7 said, "Remember those who have the rule over you and who have spoken the word of God to you." He said, "Whose faith follow." Others around us today who are living their lives by faith, Paul said, we need to imitate their example. And we do that because we consider the outcome of their conduct. We look at the results, the end results of following their example. The peace, the joy, the happiness, the hope of heaven that is theirs and can be ours if we follow their example. You know, I think about so many Christians today who are worthy of emulation. I've done probably well over 100 funerals, far too many since I've been here in almost 10 years. And I wish I had time to just go down the list and call out each name and say something that I've learned that I still carry with me about that individual. That's true in almost every case. I think about Sister Mabel Myers, and sometimes it's not the advice one gives, but it's the kind of advice that one gives. You know, Mabel Myers, of course, suffered with cancer. She lived every day as if it were her last. And I can still hear her say to me as I went to visit her from time to time, "Doug, what were you worrying about 6 months ago?" "Can't remember, can I?" "What was her point?" "Don't worry about things you can't control." That will always have an impact on my life. And many other people that I think about in such a fond way have had a profound influence, not only on my life, but on your life as well. We are following their example. We are reflecting them as we try to reflect Jesus Christ to other people. I want to switch gears now and emphasize the idea that not only do we need to be reflecting Jesus Christ, but I want us to observe the fact that other people see our reflection. I don't care who you are. You've got a powerful influence. And other people are watching you, people that you're not even aware of are observing your behavior. Who sees the reflection in your life? I might suggest that other Christians are always watching you. I think in particular about parents and the responsibility they have to reflect Jesus before those children. Parents, what kind of reflection are we demonstrating before our children when we choose not to come to worship on Sunday night or Wednesday night, when we consistently say that something is more important than worshiping God? What kind of reflection are we presenting before our family when we don't get involved in the work of the Lord, when we make excuses as to why we can't do this or that? What reflection are we setting forth when our lives are inconsistent with what we preach and teach? Let it never be said about our lives that I can't hear what you're saying for seeing what you do. We have a reflection before other people. Paul told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 7, he said, "You became examples to all who were in Macedonia and Achaia who believe." Isn't that a wonderful thing to say, that these brethren here at Thessalonica were examples to other believers in regard to their commitment to God? They followed the example of Paul in Christ. Paul said, "You became followers of us and of the Lord." We need to be an example to other people who are Christians. I think about our young people. Sometimes young people may diminish their value and their worth in the Lord's church. We've heard the expression that young people are the church of tomorrow. It's a false statement. Young people are the church of today. And some of the most powerful examples for good anywhere in the church can be found in the lives of young people. I think about the challenging words that Paul wrote Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 2. He said, "Let no man despise your youth." You don't let anybody look down upon you in disdain just because you're a young person. Rather, you be an example, not to the atheists, not to the agnostic. You don't be an example to somebody out here who doesn't even follow Jesus Christ. Paul said, "You be an example to the believers, the elders, the preachers, the teachers, the members." Young people, you be an example. And you do that in word, you do that in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. See, even young people need to realize that other people are watching you closely. Just by where you're sitting when we come into our assembly, you're making a profound statement that you may take for granted. I hear comments almost every service about how good it is seeing young people sit so close to the front. That's a good example. And you need to realize that you set an example. You reflect Jesus to others by where you go, by what you do, by how you talk, by the decisions that you make. And that's why young people especially need to strive to live consistent lives, to be different from the world Because you can have an impact on the life of somebody else right now that you might not have later on. Who are you reflecting? Who's seeing your reflection? Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 6, older men are to exhort the younger men to be sober-minded, self-controlled. Paul tells older men in the church that you need to be showing yourself as a pattern of good works. You know, there's something that's greatly beneficial in growing older, especially in Christ. Older men serve as a wonderful example to those who are younger about being the kind of fathers and the kind of followers of Jesus that we need to be. Older men, your reflection is seen by those who are younger in the church. And what about young people today? Young people also are observing our behavior. Young people see what we're reflecting. Jesus said, "But whosoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, it would be better for him for a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea." Our Lord takes very seriously our obligation to be a godly example to the young. I'm thankful I had the privilege of growing up in the Lord's church. I know as I grew up in the church, I was always observing what was going on around me. As a young child, I didn't understand everything that was involved, let's say, in partaking the Lord's Supper and other aspects of worship. I knew it was important because I saw other adults involved in it. And I learned as I grew older the meaning of those things. But I know me and my sister, you know, every day almost when we were younger, especially before we went to school, we would always play church. Always play church. And I know some of you do the same thing. Your children play church. My sister was probably one of the greatest preachers I've ever had the privilege of hearing. I mean, she could shell it out. And of course, you know, where we sat in worship, we would watch certain people, their mannerisms as they partook of the Lord's Supper, how they grabbed the bread and drank the juice, and we would try to imitate those people that we observed in worship. One time that did get us into some trouble, though. Of course, where I grew up, on Sunday nights, like we have the Lord's Supper for those that did not have the opportunity to partake. We'll come down the aisle, you'll be served. At Florence Boulevard, where I grew up, during the closing song, those that did not get to partake that morning were dismissed to another room. And there they would have the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper. Well, one Sunday afternoon, me and my sister went with my dad to the church building. Spent all afternoon. Well, we found the room where they were serving the Lord's Supper that night. And she and I partook all afternoon long. And when the brethren went there that evening to partake, there was none left to partake of. But that never happened again, I can assure you. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying this, it made an impression on us as children to see other people participate actively in the worship services. Children learn. Children are very impressionable. Young people are very impressionable as they see those of us who are older worship God and faithfully live the Christian life. And I might suggest as well that unbelievers likewise see our reflection. Look at the important words of 1 Peter 2 and verse 12. Peter said, "Having your conduct, your behavior honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. You see, unbelievers will often judge the value of walking with Christ by the example they see in us. It may very well be that there'll be those that will be saved in the day of judgment simply because they observed our behavior. Even though they were looking to find fault, they saw in us a godly life reflecting Jesus Christ, and because of our behavior, they were even led to eventually obey the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, what do people see when they look at you? That's a personal question that you need to answer. Does your example, the decisions that you make, do those things help or hinder the cause of Christ? Does your example help or hinder the progress of the Lord's church? Does your example hinder the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ? What are you, by your life, by the way that you act each day, what are you reflecting to other people? I believe the greatest manifestation that one can make to reflect Jesus in a positive way is to obey the gospel. To demonstrate to the world that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, as you believe on the Lord with all of your heart and you turn from those past ways of life and repentance, you confess with your mouth, as the one did this morning following our service, that Jesus is the Son of God, and then to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then to understand my obligation from that point on to reflect Jesus every day by how I live. Tonight, the invitation is yours if you're subject to it. We ask that you come now while we stand and sing.